So it is not a great feeling when you wake up, and of course, Mike Girardi, I see I have a tweet from him, and he's like, has anybody checked on Adam Rick? And it's funny because, you know, depending on who's sending this to you, and I know the MLB deadline's gone, so I didn't have to worry about it being like Ohtani was traded or something or anything like that. I knew it was Bears related. And of all the things that it could have been, of all the fears that went through my mind when people were asking for a wellness check on me, like, Mike, you go to some dark places. You don't even want to know what I thought of. When I turned around, I look, and it's like, oh, Roquan Smith requested a trade. Like, okay, that's fine. Like, everybody calm down. I know, I forget if it was Shagru or somebody else. Maybe it was Jack, who was like, I'm muting the word chill out or relax or whatever. I say chill. I will tell you this. There is a song and dance to these negotiations. Remember like 3 weeks ago, Debo was requesting a trade. DK Metcalf was requesting a trade. Deontay Johnson was requesting a trade. Hell, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill were traded. This is part of the dance. Now, what you'll notice is that the guys who are approaching 30 were traded. The young guys on their second, not third contract, were all kept in-house. So have some perspective. This is what happens when you don't have representation, and maybe it's a shot across the bow for me that perhaps at some point I actually do need an agent. But in any event, we're going to talk about all that stuff and so much more once Sammy here starts the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
It's Tuesday night. You know what that means. It is time for Take It to the Rank. And our co-host for Take It to the Rank, Carmen Vitale, not with us at the moment. She could be here at any time. She could drop in. She could pop in. But, of course, she's on the road. She's going down for a joint practice between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Miami Dolphins, which, incidentally, kind of impacts me as well because Wednesday night on the NFL Network, I will be one of the co-hosts, one of the analysts on Total Access, MJ Acosta Ruiz, Willie McGinnis, and me talking about that practice. We got the Giants coming up. Who's the Giants? Patriots Thursday night on the NFL Network. So there's a lot of cool things going on in the NFL. So if you can check out the NFL Network, we would appreciate it. And of course, stay tuned here to the Sick Podcast. We will have a great show for you on Thursday. And we got a great show for you tonight, whether Carmen can make it or not. I'm happy that all of you are here to talk about everything that is going on with Roquan Smith. So many emotions, so many things to go through. I honestly don't know where to start because I keep getting pulled into like six different directions. But I think that let's just start right off the top with the Roquan Smith thing. Of course, he's going to ask for a trade. And what was it he said? Sammy, can we pull up the comment that he said? The new front office regime doesn't value me here. And yeah, that's not accurate. I think that Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus know exactly how good of a player Roquan Smith is. There is no mistake that he is one of the top players in the NFL. There is no mistake that these guys want him in camp at some point. And this is one of the things and one of the nuances that you lose when you don't have a representative, because it is a tough thing. You know, and they talk about this when players go through arbitration in baseball. It's like, it's very jarring to sit there and have a team explain why they don't want to pay you top dollar or why they do this. And there are, you know, football and financial reasons why you wouldn't necessarily want to pay a player like Roquan Smith a lot of money. There are a lot of times these contracts don't work out to the benefit of the team. You know, that these guys have reached a peak or they out, you know, at some point you look at this contract a couple of years down the road and you're like, well, now he's a cap casualty. We paid him too much money. Now we can't do that. And these are a lot of steps that you have to jump through when you're going through negotiations. And a lot of times that's why you have an agent, who will you know, kind of shield you from these things. The agent comes in and be like, no, the team loves you. Like, this is just the part of the thing. This is just, you know, one of the things that we work through. Because Roquan Smith is there personally trying to make this happen and not understanding the back and forth and not understanding the ramifications of the salary cap and everything like that, that he might get his feelings hurt. Like, this is, I don't know. This is why sometimes, you know, when you were in high school, why you had your friend go up and ask somebody that you are interested in, like, hey, do you like my boy here? Like, hey, what do you think of my boy? What do you think of my boy? What do you think of my boy Doug here? Like, do you like Doug? Do you guys want to go out? You want to go to Miguel's Junior? You want to go hang out and have a good time? No, you don't like him? Like, okay. Hey, actually, Doug, yeah, she's not really, you know, and I'm not going to go up there and be like, hey, Doug, she's repulsed by you. No, you're like, ah, dude, yeah, she's kind of like somebody else. She's kind of like, ah, no big deal. Like, ah, you can do better. You know, like you have a representative there who is shielding you from the harsh realities of what is going on. And it's, you know, and Roquan's not getting that. So of course he doesn't feel the love. Here's what I said, by the way, if we could pull up my thing, by the way, follow me on Twitter at Adam Rank. Of course, follow me on Instagram at Adam Rank NFL. I look forward to Roquan Smith playing for the Bears this year. They're not trading him. Like, you're not going to get the value for him. Now, if somebody walked up and gave you a Khalil Mack type deal, which I do not anticipate happening, like, yeah, okay, there could be a possibility. He's not going to be here. I just think that ultimately cooler heads are going to prevail. They're going to work something out. You know, Roquan probably doesn't have a lot of leverage. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're still, forgive me if I've got this mistaken, and I'm sure somebody like Berlissimo will jump in and be like, nope, you're wrong. But like, don't the Bears have the opportunity to franchise tag him again too? Or can they franchise? Like, there's a lot of things that it feels like it can go on. And I know a lot of people think this is an indictment of the Bears organization. Like, oh, this has been a disaster for Ryan. Like, what disaster? Like, we haven't played a game. We haven't played a preseason game yet. It's a disaster. Stop it. He hasn't fixed the offensive line. He brought in Riley Reiff and Michael Schofield. He drafted a guy in the fifth round who looks like he's the left tackle of the future. I don't understand. Like, I don't know. Listen, Shagru or whomever can block me for my toxic positivity, but I refused to get brought into this hysteria that is surrounding the team. What I won't refuse, though, is bringing Carmen on. Carmen, bring her on. I said, drop. I went, I'm like, when Carmen, when I said, I told Sammy, I said, Sammy, the moment Carmen arrives, you just bring her in. I don't know. She doesn't need a huge introduction. She's a co-host of this show. People know her. Where you're in. How are you? By the way, are you in Tampa right now? Or are you in Miami?
I'm here.
Okay.
No, I'm in Tampa right now, and I have to apologize for being late. They lost my bag, so I don't have any of my equipment with me. We've just been rolling with the punches here. Anything for Bears.
We appreciate
Southwest,
that.
Southwest?
I know. I don't think Southwest is not used to people checking bags. I think that's their thing. They have a whole empty part of this plane and they don't like, oh, somebody actually checked the bag. Like, I've seen four people in my life check a bag on a Southwest. That's why they're just not used to it.
Well, it never left Chicago. So apparently it's coming in at like midnight tonight. So we're making things work. We're doing things, but we are in Tampa. I will be at Bucks practice all week. And their first for joint practices tomorrow with the Dolphins and then for the game and then a couple more practices before they go to Tennessee. So,
all right. Well, I'm going
to, that's not Bears though. And there's a lot.
That's fine. That's fine. I told everybody at the top of the show too, I'll be on Total Access tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening, depending on if you're on the East Coast or not. We will be covering that Bucks Dolphins joint practice as well. I might be hitting you up for a couple of notes, like a couple of little nugs. You could kind of slide my way to make me. I'll name drop you, of course. Like, I'm not gonna.
Sure.
I'll just
slide you.
I'm not.
I'll slide
that
you some
person.
Observations.
I know okay. that Kevin well, Fishbane it. Thinks I'm this person, but I'm not that person. I will give you. I will be like, oh, I was talking to my ears on the ground, Carmen Vitale. She told me that Leonard Fournette looks great. Whatever it is, give me something. Okay. You will be.
I'm looking for some. I want some action. I want some action in the trenches. I really want to check out my guy Rashad White from Arizona State. Yeah. I've heard that he's had a great camp, so I'm excited to finally get to see him, meet him. I also, Adam, this is very Bears related. I finally get to meet Akeem Hicks. Ooh. I've never met him before. My favorite Bear. Yes, he's been my favorite Bear for like the last few years, and now I get to meet him, and I'm really excited about it.
I'm so excited for you. I was blown away when I found out that he was following me on Instagram. I'm like, what? Like, this is pretty amazing. So
a little bit of a humble brag there.
Oh, that's a non-humble brag. That's me bragging. That's a brag. There was nothing humble about that at all. I was very thrilled about that. But what I wasn't thrilled about was the inundation of people doing wellness checks on me today because of the Roquan Smith situation. I'm really anxious to get your opinion on everything that is unfolding. How are you feeling about this whole situation?
I mean, I thought it was kind of just like a thing that was happening. I didn't really take it seriously because he was there, right? Like, we heard from coaches, from players, that he was participatory in meetings. Players were like, yeah, no, he's still locked in. Like, I didn't think that this was any cause for concern until, today, out of the blue, you get like, it's never good when you see the notes app, right? Like, you see the notes app, it's too, and he doesn't even have his phone on dark mode. Can we talk about that for one second?
That I might trade him for that reason alone.
That is sociopathic behavior, is to not have your phone on dark mode. But no, I mean, I really, it's funny though, because you really see in this situation, not only through like these negotiations that he doesn't have representation, but that note, I mean, that language in there was very direct. It was like the McCaskey family could potentially salvage this, but I don't see a way back to this organization. And like, that's something that I feel like if you have an agent in your ear, they're not going to let you say something like that. Yeah. I appreciate his candor. I appreciate him being honest and transparent, and he's clearly hurt by this. And like, I also think like he's got a point in like, he kind of has the cross to bear for linebackers right now. And so if he agrees to a deal that's not fair to him, that's not fair league wide. I mean, we saw what happened with the wide receiver market, but from Christian Kirk of all people, that completely reset it. So he's thinking about his fellow guy, like, and I also just think that there's a lot that gets lost in translation when you don't have an agent. Like, I wouldn't know the first thing about representing myself in any of these situations. Like, someone is definitely in his ear, and I don't know who that person is, but like, there's no way he's just doing this completely on his own. And I mean, the process just breaks down in that way. And like, listen, I get it. You don't want to give somebody else your money. You want to do what's best for you, and you only trust yourself to do that. Totally get that. But agents they exist for a reason, and they make things a lot easier in a lot of ways. And I'd be so interested to see the language and the contracts and stuff like that. But it's like, how does he decipher that? That's my question. Like, I get, you see the DS, Rappaport kind of tweeted a couple of things that were the standout issues with the offer that the Bears put on the table. And there was some sort of de-escalation of money towards the later years, which obviously protects the team. And then for him not to be paid like a top linebacker, like the all-pro linebacker that he is, I think that that's probably the biggest number sticking out to him. In which case, I'm like, the Bears have the money. Just pay him.
Yeah, that is it smacks of a family member putting this in his head about like, you need to tweet or however you get this information out there. And I don't know how it originally came out there, because if it was Ian Rappaport, and I see that Ian is the one who's being credited with this, normally that's an agent who's like, hey, we need this out there. Like the Kyler Murray situation, like that doesn't get out there without somebody being very purposeful about how this information is getting out there. So there is somebody who somehow has a tie to Ian, and I don't know if that means that Roquan is actually working with somebody I don't know if it's somebody who's a consultant or whatever, but it's like, all right, well then just do it. You know what? Look, I would always feel terrible about these situations, because you know, the team probably is trying to get away with, like, I would do that too, be like, dude, we're going to give you $300 million And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Because a lot of people read contracts and like $300 million, like whatever. And you're like, right. Oh, $40 of it is guaranteed. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, I don't, you know, like that kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I would always be worried about somebody trying to pull a fast one on me. So I don't know.
Yeah. And because teams are going to do what is best for them, they're going to try to protect themselves in every way. And I mean, I think the Bears also are kind of not as progressive as maybe more teams are or willing, like, the landscape is changing. Guys are getting more guaranteed money. And like, again, I'm always on the side of the player when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because their careers are so short. They're putting their bodies at risk. They're putting their, like, their life after football at risk in doing so. So I think they should get as much as they can. And the league is like, there's more leverage, more and more leverage is going to the players these days. And you can't really get away with pulling a fast one on them, yeah. Especially in the age of social media too, where all everything breaks and you see all the details from everybody's contract, this, that, and the other. So like, I think the Bears are a little bit stuck in the past when it comes to that. Like, okay, we're going to do exactly what is going to benefit us and like not really give. And like, I mean, Roquan even said it's been like a take it or leave it type attitude from the Bears. And it's like, you have to work with these guys now. Like the NFLPA has smartened up as a whole. Players have smartened up as a whole. Like, they're going after what's going to be in their best interest because they know that they are assets to these teams. They, like, the humanity is, like, actually Robert Saleh came out and said it about Mekhi Becton and the injury there, yeah. But, like, the humanity is lost in these things. Like, this is a guy trying to take care of himself, trying to take care of his family, and set up future generations of wealth for the rest of his family, a guy that comes from nothing. So, like, that's the leverage that he's working with. That's in his mind. And, like, I feel like the Bears need to be a little bit more progressive when it comes to the leverage that they give players and not trying to pull fast ones on them.
No, I agree with all that. I agree with everything that you say. And then tonight I will go watch the Angels and I will see Anthony Rendon on the bench and I'll be like, yeah, guaranteed money's great. No, I'm kidding. But the Bears, like, they just came out with, like, who are the most valuable sports franchises? The Bears haven't even built their building in Arlington Heights yet. And they're already, like, a multi-billion dollar, like, you can afford, like, just pay it. Like, whatever. Like, cool. If you get burned on this, like, it'll be fine.
That, and, like, they have the cap room. They're going to have, like, $100 million in cap space next year. Like,
yeah,
you can see that they have the money immediately. Plus, I mean, granted, I get it. It's a former O-lineman GM, but like, you threw what, $8.5 million Riley Reiff's way, like, yeah. Just like right off the bat, you don't even know what position he's starting at yet. Like,
if he is gonna start,
I see that. If he's even starting, exactly. So I'm like, I see that. I see that you have all this cap room, and I'm just like, I get that you have to build a team and you have to kind of whatever, you have to figure out that puzzle for the long run. But like, this is a defensive cornerstone. This is a guy that your defense does not run without. This is also a very crucial part of Eberflus's 4-3 scheme. Like, you need that linebacker in the middle there that's going to be directing traffic both in front and behind him. So I don't like, if you're going to pay anybody, pay Roquan.
Yeah. Yeah, I will stop everybody on the NFL Network who's like, yeah, he might be their best player. I'm like, let's dial it back. Like, top three, for sure. Here's what I will say, though, and I said this before you came on, is that if you want to play bean counter, like if you want to play the Oakland A's mentality of, like, the evaluation.
Moneyball.
Like, if you're moneyballing this and, like, I guess, like, if you're convinced that, you know, Eberflus can make just about any competent player in that situation, you know, I get that. Okay. I will entertain that. What I will not entertain, and this is what I want people to understand, when you're taking, like, hopefully people aren't taking sides, but it's like, I don't want to hear anybody be like, he's not that good anyways. That's the one, like, that's been an instant mute. And if the person's not following, that's a block. I will not entertain that. Like, if you're a money ball person, like, I get it. Like, okay, that makes sense. But don't say that he's not a good player. Like, that's disingenuous. Like, don't try to make yourself feel better. And if he gets traded, I don't anticipate him getting traded. But I did say before he came on, I'm like, listen, if somebody comes in with some offer where it's a Khalil Mack type of situation, be like, it was good knowing you, Roquan. But I don't anticipate that. I anticipate him being on the team. I think this is the song and dance that everybody goes through. And by the way, he wasn't, he's not Fran, like he's in the last year of his contract.
Yeah.
But he could get franchised next year. So he loses a little bit of what you would call
leverage.
But I don't know. I think it'll be done. You know, I don't know if we want to jump into the, we probably want to jump into the questions, but I do want to, before we do that, I do want, you're the offensive line whisperer. Tevin Jenkins, he's returned.
I am an offensive lineman. What are you talking about, Adam? I'm an offensive lineman.
You're an offensive lineman. Tevin Jenkins is back. What do you make of his press conference? What do you make of his situation? Just give us your read on that.
I mean, I don't know. The press conference was not the best. We'll leave it at that. I don't know that he was super prepared going into that.
Do you think they did that on purpose? Put him out there and be like, hey, you got to go meet with the media. Like, was that good or bad?
I think that's like, that's conspiracy. Like that's bordering on like kind of conspiracy. Like, do you want to like, you know, throw him in there unprepared? Like that doesn't make anybody look good. And yeah. I would like the PR staff there is great. Like I would not think that they would agree to that. Cause that's also then a reflection on them.
By the way, their PR staff is great.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out Aaron.
And Ben and Allie.
Don't forget Allie.
Allie's the goat.
She's great. And so he wasn't a good situation. And I mean, at the same time, I don't know that there ever was going to be a good situation because you're going to get eaten alive by reporters in the third largest media market in the country. That's just what's going to happen. That's how it is. But I was a little, I know that I was like, okay, we could get him in at, like, you know, like left tackle, like Riley Reed can do right tackle. Like I know like last week I was kind of like, oh, we'll see. But like internally I was screaming and I hope you know that. So now you see that Tevin Jenkins is rotating with Larry Borum at that right tackle spot, which is something that I had anticipated from the beginning, hoping that was going to be the case. And I think that maybe the Bears, that's an indication that the Bears think he is going to stick around. Mm-hmm. I think that they were maybe putting Riley Reiff in there as a contingency. I hope that's what they were doing because I hope that Riley Reiff is the starting left tackle. That's his natural position. That's the position that he played most of his career. And I just don't think you want to leave Justin Fields blindside up to a rookie. As good as Braxton Jones has done and as well as he's like held up in training camp, this is still training camp. And the margin for error at that position is just so little. And like, it could be one play that you mess up and that could be catastrophic. I feel like I've been using that word a lot lately because there's a lot of.
It's okay. Because it's high intensity. Everything is catatastrophic now. It's the perfect word because apparently Ryan Poles is already a disaster. According to half of Twitter, he said he hasn't done anything. The national media says it too. I don't know if you caught this. I don't know if we talked about this, but we might have because I would No, because I was there on Wednesday where I had to go after Mike Girardi, who came after me today on Twitter. But like I was going after everybody who was like, hey, like they were going after they did nothing for Justin Fields. I'm like, you guys, like anonymous voices on Twitter are one thing, but you guys should know better. That's what I did. I went to the you should know better. That's how I had to admonish my teammates. Like, you should know better. Like, how dare you?
Well, at least within earshot of you.
Yeah,
that in the privacy they love of your own conversation.
They love listen, but
if you
not
say
me.
It publicly. Adam's gonna hear it.
I'm gonna hear it. I was on the air still. Like they were coming after me, and it's like I think that I go. I think they probably are bemused because I go a different level. Because I don't want to call her out, but like Stacey Dale's, like you know, like she cares. Like she's you know she's in that building in Lake Forest a lot. So like you can't help but care. Like you know what I'm saying. Like it's. You know, your job's easier when the teams that you cover play better. Like I covered, I'm sure I've said this 100 times. I covered my rival college when I worked for the Orange County Register. I wanted them to win. I didn't care. Like, I'm like, I just want them to win. I hated it. Like I hated sitting in the press box at Blair Field And all these guys like, oh, Fullerton got here. And I'm like, bro, like I need to talk to Jared Weaver after the game. I don't need him pissed. Please go beat USC. And I hate USC anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm like, go beat them. You know what I'm saying? So,
people always ask me, like, when the Bears play the Bucks, like, who do you want to win? And I'm like, when I was working for the Buccaneers, I'm like, I want the Bucks to win. My job is 10 times easier when the Bucks win. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. My job doesn't like rely on the Bears. Like, I want them to win every other time they're not playing the Bucks.
Of course.
But when they're playing the Bucks, I don't want all my guys to be pissed.
What was it like walking through that hallway when Tom Brady couldn't find that fifth down? Like, hey, there's only four downs now, Tom. I don't know. You've been playing long enough to know you only get four downs. Was that awkward? Was it a comedy? Was it comedy where people making fun of him, or is he the GOAT and nobody says a word to him?
No one said a word at the time. And then later on, though, and this is a shout out to Jill Beckman. She's the Bucs social media coordinator and a very good friend of mine. We went with a tweet later after the Bucs made it to the Super Bowl, and it was like, or won the Super Bowl. And we're like, hey, Tom Brady, how many playoff games did you win? And it's the picture of him going.
Nah, I remember that distinctly. That was such a good moment. Yeah, I love that. And he's good on social media. And don't pull
so
back the
shout
curtain.
Out Jill, because that was her brainchild. Yeah,
way to
that
go.
That was her brainchild. So shout out Jill.
We love that. Yeah, she does a great job. I love Bucks Twitter. I think they do a really nice job. I think the Bucks, there are certain teams. I can't give too much effusive praise to too many organizations because then people come after me. But the Bucks and I are cool. So I appreciate that. And I've always appreciated them. But let's take some questions from the gallery.
Yeah.
Adam, do you agree that Roquan trying to turn the fans against Poles is poisonous? Should we defend Poles in this? I just think this is part of the dance. You know, this is we're sitting there. It's like now we're at a dinner party and the couple that invited us are now bickering and they're going after each other. It's like an episode of the Gilmore Girls I just watched, where Luke and Lorelai are pissed at each other and poor Suki has got to sit there between them. No. And Jackson's there too, making bedroom. You don't watch the Double G? Wow, that's on you. Like that's not something to be bragging about. But that's what it's like. And I don't think that we need to be very deferential and be like, hey, they're both our friends. We love both of them. Hopefully they will come. I think the key is let's not turn on them. You let them work it out. You sit there. I'm going to quietly eat my mashed potatoes while they work this stuff out passive aggressively, although I got aggressive aggressive with Roquan. But I don't think that it's poisonous. I just think that he's trying to get paid and he's trying to take the available tactics to him.
Well, and I mean, I believe he used, if I'm remembering correctly, I believe he used the language like he doesn't feel valued. And like, that's valid. Like, you can't argue with how someone feels. And if that's the case, because the contracts have been just, this whole process hasn't been what he was anticipating. I mean, like, you also have to step back and realize, like, Roquan's only going to be happy if he becomes the highest paid linebacker in the league. Like, that is his threshold, essentially. And anything less than that is not going to be sufficient for him. So that's his point of view. And there's two sides and then the truth to the story, right? So I also think, like, Poles deserves a little bit more grace as well, just because I think this speaks more to the dysfunction that he inherited and that he's trying to clean this all up. And that's not easy, especially for a first-time GM working with a first-time head coach. Like, I think this is more indicative of the fact that there's stuff left over that needs cleaning up from the last regime.
Yeah, you know what? He's got some emotional baggage that he's got to take care of. Like that couple, like Ryan Poles needs to look at Roquan and be like, I'm not Ryan Pace. Like, I don't think you're not mad at me. You're mad at him. This should have been taken care of a long time ago. I need to go in there.
This analogy just really worked a lot on so many levels.
So many levels. Like, I'm not the one you're mad at. Let's turn this. Let's figure out a way. And if we need to call the parents in, we need to call the McCaskies, then we'll do that.
Well, it sounds like that's going to happen.
It feels like it's going to happen. George is going to ride in. You know what? Honestly, like thinking about conspiracy theories and things like that or whatever, I'm pro McCaskey. I think everybody knows that. I do not take shots at the family. I think that they sincerely love the Bears organization and want to do everything correct. And I swear to you, I'm going to take so many victory laps if it does end up that George turns out to be the hero. I am going to be dunking on people like I am MJ in 1991. Reverse, doing two hand, like everything. It'll be a dunk competition. Like, it'll be so great. I almost secretly hope that it is George that saves it. Like, oh, where's everybody now? Where are all the haters now? Where are you at? Where are you hiding? They'll be quiet. Quiet as a church mouse. But that's okay. That's my sincere hope. But that would mean that he's back and he's playing, and that's what we all ultimately
want. And that's what everyone wants. Yeah.
That's what everybody wants. That's what
including
we want.
Roquan.
Roquan. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He loves the team. He wants to be there. He's at family. Like, and there's no coincidence that it was released Tuesday before the family fest. Like, somebody's right. Plotting it. Like, somebody's in his ear. And again, it sounds like a family member.
That's like, why I'm like, yeah. There's no way that, like, there's not someone that is, like, helping him and whatever, because this is so much to
somebody's behind
or,
team.
Like, to be able to work through.
Yeah.
While you're trying to, you know, play football and learn a new system.
100%. So hopefully this will be resolved. So I'm not going to worry about it too much, but I'm also going to allow another question. I don't know. That was a terrible segue. Ichong, Adam, great meeting you live. Yeah, oh my God, yes. By the way, to all the fans out there, no, it was awesome. The fans were great. Everybody was cool. Like, it was so much fun. I love the atmosphere. It was great meeting you last week. And I'm hearing from some media members that Roquan is not a top five linebacker. What do you think? I think $18 billion a year is a good compromise. You know what? It's not my money. Pay him more. Pay him 20 mil. I do think it's funny. It was Clay Harbor who was pointing this out. Like, Pro Football Focus comes out like, oh, look at the Bears. They're not playing this guy. And Clay pointed out like, hey, like, you had him ranked as the 62nd linebacker. So before you guys get on your high horse, like, you should be applauding the Bears. Yeah, but that's the thing, first of all. Like, who are the 61 other linebackers who are better? Like, that's preposterous.
Is that like Pro Bowl definition of linebackers, where like off-ball linebackers just get jilted because they're not out there going against outside linebackers too, and the outside linebackers have all the stats? Hope that PFF would differentiate.
I am very disappointed.
61 other linebackers are better than Roquan Smith?
Not even close. Not even close. And it's, you know, if he was out, like, if I don't know. I see a lot of dumb rankings a lot of times, mostly because I'm in the fantasy football space. But like, top five, like, yeah, I would say top five, especially at his position. Like, there are a few, if any, who are better than he is. And again, we're going into a situation with a system that is designed specifically for a player like him. So he has the opportunity to be the best. So
he's coming off the last two seasons. He had AP second team votes, all pro votes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people know, like, people recognize, and they recognize how good he is. So I do not agree with that. And by the way, again, good meeting all of you and everybody who took pictures. I did grab somebody's phone and berated somebody's wife for not being there. I don't know. I wish I could. No, because he was like, hey, you know, like, we took a photo. He's like, oh, my wife wishes she could be here, whatever. And then I went over and watched practice. And as I was returning, he was on the phone. And he was like, I'm on the phone with my wife. I'm like, give me that phone. And we talked for a moment. I didn't berate her. I was lamenting the fact that she wasn't able to be there and wish I could have met her. But you know what? Hopefully I will go. Dustin, Adam Rank. Hold on, I gotta put my glasses on. Wait a minute. If you could meet or talk Bears with you forever, my wife would be okay with it. You're the greatest talk show host. First of all, Dustin, I don't know if Dustin Duran is the person in question, but it was just one of the things. Like, I don't know. I try to be, you know, as forthcoming. It is a weird thing because sometimes, like, I never assume that somebody knows who I am, because I've seen this happen to somebody else. And I don't want to say who it is, but it was a colleague of mine who was like, hey, like, somebody was looking over. They're like, oh, that guy recognizes me. So he went up to talk to him, and the guy was like, I don't even like football. It was one of the greatest moments of my life, laughing at my colleague, who I didn't particularly. So I was like, I never assume they have to come up and talk to me. Although I will tell you, I was walking through the airport in Dallas and I had, you know, whatever. And this guy goes, hey, good morning, football. And I'm like, hey, you know what's going on? Stop. Said hello. And he's like, yeah, he introduced me to somebody. He's like, oh, it's this Adam Schefter right here. And I go, I'm sorry. He goes, no. I go, no, it's Adam Rank. But I go, first of all, you recognize me walking through the airport with a hat on,
yeah,
out of context. Okay. It wasn't like I was at an, like when I'm at a Bears practice, people are like, oh, I know who that person is. But a lot of times you're out of context. Yeah. So people are like, God, I know that guy from stuff. Like it happens, like the dude from Storage Wars will be there. And you're like, I know this guy from somewhere and it's driving me crazy and I can't think of who it is. But in any event, enough about that. I know we've got plenty of questions. Sammy, let's not keep them waiting. Rank, aside from the Roquan news, thoughts?
Oh, that's a good one.
Wide receiver. Oh, you know what? That is the one thing from the Prodigy. Thank you. This is a pretty good observation on you. You know what? It's a bummer. I think most of all, like it's a bummer. And again, I don't know how you go after the GM at this point. Like people are getting hurt. Like what? There's not, injuries happen. You know, these things are uncontrollable. I think the biggest bummer for me is that N'Keal Harry went down, because I was really hopeful for him. When I was out of practice, you know, I saw him take a handoff and I was like, oh, like, yeah, you know, like he's a big dude. And you're like, oh, you know, we want to use him like Debo. Like, okay, I could see this. And he's blocking well. He was making some nice adjustments on some passes.
Right.
Really seemed to be working his tail off. You know, part of me is like, injuries happen. So it is a bummer, but Darnell's still there out there making one-handed catches. So I'm okay. I'm still okay because we still have like Darnell Mooney's playing, Cole Kmet's playing. We got David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, who to me are the top four pass catching options. Byron Pringle will probably factor in there too. What do you think? Are we, I don't know, until Pringle is like significantly ruled out, I feel like we can assume N'Keal Harry's not going to be playing for a couple of weeks. But otherwise, I'm just going to, again, I don't want to get too worked up too early.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not ideal, especially because within this new system, my whole thing has been like, well, that's chemistry that they're losing out on. That's timing. That's getting Justin Fields kind of acclimated a little bit more to this system. Like if he doesn't have reliable receivers to throw to, that's going to stunt his growth too. So that's where I'm coming from with why these injuries are just like, I was like, oh God, like David Moore got hurt. I was like, no. Like, can we stop?
Yeah.
Because, I think Bailey Jones is still day-to-day. Byron Pringle is thought to miss, like, the first part of the season. Like, this is just – that this is crucial time, especially when you have a new coach, you have a new offense, and you're trying to get chemistry and, like, timing. Like, again, like, I've watched – like, the amount that goes into the relationship between quarterbacks and their receivers, whether that be wideouts or tight ends or running backs or whatever it is, like, there are so many nuances and intricacies to those relationships, and I've watched the greatest of all time develop those relationships, and it's like it's literally down to like, okay, I want you to take this many steps on this route before you cut over or you break it. And like depending on how your offense is set up, and if you have more timing routes, if you have option routes, if you have, you know, if you are going off of yardage or steps or whatever it is, but this is the crucial time to figure all of that out. And so that is why I think this hurts the most. I think that, you know, they'll get him back. And like you said, like they still have Darnell Mooney, who Justin worked with in the offseason already. They were training together in Atlanta. But like this was the time for like the unit itself to gel. And I mean, I've seen also firsthand what happens when you have a very thin receiver room, like a wideout room.
Yeah.
And guys, I mean, it just gives defenses targets, right? It puts all of these guys, if you have only three or four options, it puts targets on all of their backs for defenses, and it makes it easier to shut them down. You can't be as multiple. I think the Bears running game will save them in that, provided the offensive line can hold up, because then you can't, like defenses can't force you to be one dimensional in that case. But it's still, again, just the adjustment of everything and trying to build this cohesion. It's going to be stunted now. There's no way around that with these injuries. But yeah, I mean, like, that's not the GM's fault. Like he for what he had to work with, like that receiver room was looking pretty decent.
Yeah.
Actually, like more decent than I think a lot of people thought. And now, yeah, like, I mean, you talked about N'Keal Harry too. He just like, when we talked to him in the media, like in training camp, all he talked about was wanting to be that like big bodied receiver, and he wanted to be physical, and he wanted to be like, you know, he takes a lot of pride in blocking and all that kind of stuff. And that's something that this offense stresses too, is wide receivers being able to block. And he was just like, I want to play that really physical brand of football, because I think that he's got the weight, he looks the part. And now to see him get hurt and not be able to kind of run with his fresh start here in Chicago, or there in Chicago, it sucks. And plus, it's my Arizona State dude.
I know.
I want to see him do well.
Of course. I mean, I loved him coming out of college as well. And I thought that he was going to end up being a good fit for the Bears. What have you thought about Equanimeous St. Brown when you've gotten an opportunity to see him?
Yeah, he's also another one that's really physical. And we got like an up close view of the receivers one day at training camp. I think this was the day before you were there. And they were doing blocking drills with the little pass dummies. And Equanimeous St. Brown was like, you know, I think it was Darnell Mooney and EQ that were going at the same time, because it was two guys at a time. And so, of course, I was looking in the foreground at Darnell Mooney, but then I looked in the background and I was like, he is also manhandling that dummy. That is great. Yeah. And so that's, again, a big emphasis. But I think that, you know, he comes from like a really good pedigree as far as his collegiate, you know, experience at Notre Dame. And then to come in and like, I think that he could be a little bit of a dark horse there. And I think that he's going to have to be, obviously, at this point, because they're rapidly running out of receivers.
No, he was one of those guys, played locally here in Orange County in high school, went to Notre Dame. He went to a rival high school with his brother. And I said this on Greg Gabriel's show, like, I'm going to figure out who went to, I think Equanimeous went to Servite, and his brother Amon-Ra went to Modern Day. Can't remember, but then one of them goes to USC, one of them goes to Notre Dame. Like, can you guys just not go? Like, you have to go to rival schools, which is hilarious to me. I always felt like Equanimeous, like, it would be a bonus, like, because he comes from the Packers, wasn't really used, you know, didn't get a real big opportunity there. Like, if he came to Chicago and played really well, like, that would be one of those things, like, you wish, like, I wish for that to happen, because it would be nice to have something on our side for once. It's kind of like during the Monday Night Wars in the 90s, like, when X-Pac finally jumped over from WCW. I know this means a lot to you. I'm really connecting with you as I'm saying this, but it was a small little thing. You're like, okay, little kid sitting there watching the Monday Night Wars with your pa, like, oh, X-Pac's now back in the WWE. But the thing is, it would just be a great story. And I think that for a while you're like, I hope this happens, just because it would be funny to happen to the Packers for a change, instead of the reverse always seems to happen, or whatever it is. But now it feels like now it has that. Like, it would have been a luxury before. Now it's a necessity. We still have Bayless Jones Jr. too. Yeah, we still have Bayless Jones Jr. too. So it's like, okay, like, maybe we can patch this together. Maybe we can make this work. And I'm going to have to go on to NFL Network. I'm going to be on tomorrow defending Justin Fields. I'm going to put up the board, which I always talk about. Like, we might be in a situation where Darnell Mooney is going to dwarf the amount of targets that Devontae Adams had last year for the Packers, which was 169, which is a significant number.
That's huge. That is.
Yeah. I think the only thing that would eclipse, like, I think what Brandon Marshall had like 190 one year with Jay Cutler. So like, we're getting into some not unprecedented territory, but like, that's some outliers. So I don't know. Hopefully somebody steps up. But in any event, let's go to another question there, Sammy.
Tristan Ebner.
There it is. You know what? I suspect he'll lead running back to the catches in 22 and beyond. You know what? They really do like this running back room that they did. And I don't know if you caught the press conference from last week where David Montgomery was kind of going through and talking about all these studs that they have. And it does feel like there's a lot of guys who can come in and eventually make an impact for the team, almost to the point where it worries me about David Montgomery's future with the team. Like, oh, we don't want too many studs. But I do think that they have a lot of options. And that's what we're looking for, is somebody who, you know, hopefully, you know, David Montgomery is going to be around for a while. But ultimately, they're going to need somebody. And Khalil Herbert showed last year that he can step in and play. What have you thought about Ebner? I didn't get a chance to really see him, so I can't really give you an up-close personal evaluation of him. But did you watch him during camp so far?
Watched him a little bit. You mean what everyone says about him is that, yeah, like he's got the fluid hands and all that other stuff. You can maybe rotate him in on, you know, the third downs and use him kind of as that third down back. Although, I mean, like, David Montgomery can catch passes. Khalil Herbert can catch passes. So, like, you've got these really well-rounded running backs in front of him. But that being said, like, depth never hurts, especially when this offense is more, we're just talking about how the receivers are thinner and thinner and thinner. Like, you're going to need to lean on one aspect of your offense. And what we've seen out of the Bears offense without, you know, the little bit I've seen, though, is that it's going to incorporate and be a very balanced offense. And so you're going to see a lot more of the run game. You're going to make sure that, like, that is solidified, I think, first, just so you can run more of that play action. You can run more of those RPOs, those bootlegs, all that other stuff with and play to Justin Fields' skill sets. That being said, like, the run needs to be a threat. And so in order to keep that up, especially with the wear and tear on these backs, like, you want to have as many as possible. I think each room across the league, I think they should have at least three that they can count on, especially in cycling them in and out. I think I talked about, I don't know if I talked about it on here or another, or my daily podcast, but I talked about how I think it was my daily podcast. We're moving more and more into this running back by committee type approach to the running game, just because of the fact that, yeah, like, these guys take such a beating. And the more guys that you can have and switch out and rotate, you're just seeing so much more success this that way. And then you can have a substantial running game because now all these defenses are built to defend the pass. So if you can keep pounding the rock over and over and over again, like, you're gonna confuse some defenses because they're just not built for that. They're not built to be able to defend that anymore. This league is cyclical, and I can see it kind of starting a little bit. But again, like, this, that's probably left over from my childhood too, of like, smash mouth, run the ball, like football, ground and pound, all of that kind of stuff. Where again, I mean, that was the offense of the Bears.
No,
and then you had defense.
And I know a lot of people get upset when you talk about running the football and playing good defense, like, oh, I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. 'Cause the Bears have been doing that for generations, and it's, you know, it's equated to one Super Bowl title. But that's the thing, you know. And now the Dolphins are the outlier, because I think they ran 12 personnel like 60 or 70% of the time last year. Mm-hmm. But the team that was number two, or at least two or three, was the Green Bay Packers. The Bears were 13th in 12 personnel last season, but the Green Bay Packers were top three at least. They were not number one. They're no further than number three. And you know what? When you look at, you know, of course, Getsy coming from that system, they bring in guys like the family guy, Ryan Griffin. They brought in O'Shaughnessy. Good guys to go along with Cole Kmet. I do think that we're going to end up seeing a lot of 12 personnel and a lot of opportunity to run the football. And for everybody who gets upset by that, be like, well, the Packers are doing it. I think that there is something to this. And, you know, if your quarterback, and I know a lot of times, I know last year Philadelphia was trying to help their quarterback develop, Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mindset of the Bears, is like, you know, this is going to help him. Like, and especially if Justin Fields starts to develop, starts to become an elite level passer, that if he is as good as we hope that he is, having a solid running game and being able to establish the run only makes him better. So it should never be looked at as a detriment. And by the way, I want to address this too, because I asked somebody on Twitter who was talking about, like, I hate when people start throwing around the phrases like, oh, the Bears are tanking this year. There's no other way to describe it. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? And I asked this person, I didn't get to see a response. He might have responded or not. I'm like, would you have considered the Eagles last year as a team that was tanking? Because I certainly wouldn't have. But they were, you know, they were limited. They went back to running.
In the beginning of the season, I think a lot of people would have. You didn't see them kind of, they figured it out. Like, you were watching it in real time. Like, we're so used to these just like immediate returns and all that other stuff. Like, that's not the norm. You need a little bit of time. And they came, I mean, the second half of the season, they looked fantastic.
Yeah. And I think the Bears could certainly be in a situation very similar. I've said this multiple times. That's the model. That's a thing. Not so much the Bengals. And everybody's like, oh, the Bengals, you know, what they did in Joe Burrow's second year. I think that Jalen Hurts and what happened last season is kind of what the Bears should be modeling this season, this year after. And by the way, if I could remind everybody, If you're enjoying the show this evening, go ahead and comment sick right there in the comments. And another reminder, too, is that AM 1530 WCKG is the Chicago home of the Sick Podcast every Friday, 2 p.m. Central. The Sick Podcast comes on. And then in an amazing cover two situation, the No Name Pod comes on right after us. Olin Krutz, Jason McKee. So a cover 2 hours of Bears football that you won't find anywhere else. WCKG, AM 1530. All right, Sammy, how about another question? Will our front four get enough pressure? You know what? This was one of the things. I'm sorry. I'm going to jump in here real quick.
Nope, Travis Gibson,
he was one of the most impressive guys to me when I was watching practice the other day. I know that he was getting around Riley Reiff, and I know Riley Reiff is getting up to speed and not, you know, he's in his ramp up period, but Gibson looked like a problem. And I really enjoyed seeing him get to the quarterback as often as he did, even though it was our quarterback. So it was kind of a catch 22. I really do think that they've got a pretty decent front four and people are sleeping on them. What has been your impression of our front four?
I actually just wrote about this for the Draft Network because I think the defensive line can weirdly be like a little bit of a bright spot for the Bears this year. The interior still gives me a little bit of pause, but I think Kyrus Tonga, is that how you say his first name? Yeah. He's looked really good on the interior, and then you have Justin Jones coming over. But what I really like are these edge guys, and Trevor, you bring up Travis Gibson. I had the same sentiment. I watched him in one-on-ones. I watched him in team periods. Like, they were moving him all along the line too. Like, he was inside, he was outside, and the fronts were very multiple. And I think when you have confusion on your side, especially, and you have some pieces that are maybe a little bit more versatile, you can do a lot of really good things. And yes, you can simulate, you can do these simulated pressure looks, and you can do all of this stuff that is going to confuse opposing quarterbacks so that in a way it kind of hides any sort of either inexperience or holes that you have in that defense. By kind of doing this. And I think the edge rushers too, you've got Robert Quinn, who said, like, I asked him about switching back to a 4-3, and he was like, this is kind of feels like coming home for me. And I'm like, this is a guy that had 18 and a half sacks and a 3-4 defense last year. So yeah. Like, if this is coming home, like, that's going to look great. And then you got Abdi Muhammad on the other side opposite him, and he is probably the most familiar with Eberflus's system because he came over from Indianapolis. So right there, I mean, you've got some guys on the interior, and then you have these edge rushers that are definitely going to be able to get pressure, and they're veterans too, so they can help bring these other guys along. A name that's kind of been like, I feel like the hipster name of the Bears has been like Dominique Robinson, the rookie.
Oh yeah.
Because like the Eberflus said that him and the defensive coaches, like, they find him intriguing. So take with that what you will. And then you have Richard Hightower, the special teams coordinator, say that, yeah, he can be an asset for us on special teams too. So then you think that he's going to get in on the rotation there. And he could be a guy like Travis Gibson, where he's a little bit more versatile. He can be outside. He can be inside. I mean, he's got the size to kind of do both along that front four, especially when, you know, the Bears are in some of these sub packages too. You got your nickel package behind you and you want some speed up front. That's going to be very interesting for me to see. And I think that, yeah, this defensive line, you can push the pocket from the inside. But more importantly, you've got those guys on the edge that I have a lot of faith in.
It was amazing, you know, watching. No, it was great watching the defensive line, not even thinking like, oh yeah, we saw Bobby Quinn. Like, oh yeah, I forgot the guy who had 18 and a half sacks last year. We still have him. Watching some of these other studs get after it. And I think another important thing to realize, too, is go back and look at the success the Colts had against some of the Bears' common opponents this season. You know, Eberflus really frustrated that 49ers offense last year. Now, of course, it'll look a little different with Trey Lance at the quarterback position, but still, they went out there, caused a lot of problems. They were one of the teams that really humbled Mac Jones last season as well. And I know that Ill Will has been showing this stuff on his Twitter feed. And so if you want to go out there and look at it, like, God, they've done a really nice job, or Eberflus has done a really nice job of going down and shutting down some of these teams that we're going to face this season. And I'm interested to see how he's going to approach some of these other quarterbacks. Now, obviously, you know, it's going to be tough to stop Aaron Rodgers, but I think of like some of the scrubs like Jared Goff, which, by the way, like, can we stop with this?
Are we going to do this again?
Did I do this last time? All right. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go after the Lions.
Are we just going to rip the Lions? Or like,
I can't remember You know, I do so many shows. I go around, like, did I do this on my show? Did I do this on the Tape Never Lies Network? Like, I don't know. Did I do this with Gray? I don't know. Am I playing the hits? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm Dave Grohl. You know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to play Everlong. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what city I'm in, but I got to close with Everlong. I don't know.
I get it.
Learn to fly. Oh, here
we go. Wow. That's the Lions.
Yeah.
That's our Lions fan.
That's our Lions fan.
Hey, I ran him in, sir.
I love him. No. I love the commitment that he comes in here and listens to this show, and he's here for an hour, and he knows that I'm gonna start.
I just reined you in on the Lions.
You did.
I should get some credit from Don there.
For everybody who was hoping that Carmen was gonna start reining me in at times, there it is, a perfect example.
I did it.
I've stopped. Listen, I didn't go into a long dissertation about the Monday Night Wars. I did not go into a long dissertation about how the Lions are terrible. But Jared Goff is in his third season of Hard Knocks, which is hard to believe. In any event,
Sammy, that is hilarious.
That is hilarious. All right. Is there another question, though? I know we're coming up. I know you probably got to go to Ruth's Chris or whatever's popular in Tampa. Bears D will be top 10 this year. Rank, what say you? Listen, I agree with this sentiment. I really do believe.
Wow.
I think that they're going to be very good. And especially with the improvements that they've made in the defensive secondary, I think that we've seen a lot. You know, Kyler Gordon stepped up. Jaquan Brisker has looked really good. Eddie Jackson looks like he cares. Kendall Vidor, I don't know. Like, he looks like a player, too. You're like, oh, my gosh. We haven't even gotten an opportunity to see Tommy Graham or anything like that. Jalen Johnson, still one of the best corners in the league. You know, David Carr was ranking his top corners, and he had Kenny Moore on there. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm like, all right, I like Kenny Moore. But, you know, you think of how he was kind of a – like, I don't think that he played that well for New England. Really, really stepped up his game with the Indianapolis Colts. I think Jalen Johnson takes a step forward this season. So am I out of line? Should you be reining me in when I'm talking top
– Should player? I be reining you in on this? Well, okay. I mean, initially, I was a little bit of a sticker shock to be like, top 10 defense, that's a lot. I don't know. But one thing, the second thing I should say I thought of was that, I mean,
Eberflus' defense. We play the Lions twice? Oh,
sorry. But Eberflus' defense is really stressed. And we've heard this from the guys too, like swarming the ball, making plays on the ball. And what does that do? That creates turnovers. And the number one thing that can win or lose games is turnovers, right? So, like, if you are a defense that is creating turnovers, that is, that's going to pad all the stats. That's going to get you into that top 10. So, like, if you can get those interceptions, those forced fumbles, and do that and kind of come on the other side of this turnover margin, come on the plus side of the turnover margin, like, that's going to propel your defense, but that's going to propel the whole team. Yeah. So I like that about Eberflus's defenses, and I think that that's a really good mentality to see these guys. And, like, we saw it in practices too, like even in individual drills, stuff like that. These guys are doing, like, those swarming drills where, you know, there's a ball and everybody's got to get to it. And, like, that's where – and then I forgot which player it was that said it. I think it was Al-Kadeem Muhammad who said that, like, that's, like, one of the number one ways to piss Eberflus off is effort. And if you don't get to the ball, like if you give up on the play because you're not in it or whatever, and you don't go immediately to the ball just in case, that is the number one way to piss him off. And I love that. I love that. And so, like, that's, you increase your chance of being in the right place at the right time to make those kind of things happen. So, I mean, top 15 for sure. I might rein you in a little bit on top 10. Top 10 kind of, like, that's a little sticker shock for me, but top 15.
I'm going spicy. It's like when we're out having sushi and I just grabbed the wasabi and I just took a huge chunk of it. You're like, whoa, you're going to do that? Like, yeah, I'm going in. That's the way I approach it. I'm going in there. I'm taking a big, big scoop of wasabi when I present these hot takes, because it's what I do. Now, that is one thing that I do want to go back to what you were saying, though, because Eberflus and the impression I got, I know that you've gotten this impression as well. It's like they want people who love football, and the people who do not love football are not going to last in Chicago. So that's kind of a refreshing attitude to see, because I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know, even because it's funny, like even Tevin Jenkins press conference that he had the other day, was it still managed to take a swipe at Matt Nagy. Like, oh, that everybody, like even the guy who's been on the outs, who might be traded, who people are speculating on his future in Chicago, even that guy got in a swipe at Matt Nagy, which to me is hilarious. But I don't know what I'm saying. But I do know what I'm saying, though, is that people who love football should be checking out your new daily podcast. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, it's finally on Apple. It's on Spotify. It's called TDN Daily, and I go over one major topic each day. It's meant to be, you know, around 20, 25 minutes in the time that it takes you to get to work, because as much as I love all these podcasts, I don't always have time to listen to an hour long, and I just want the, you know, the hard hitting storylines and stuff like that. So it's been, my first week was last week. So we're working out all the kinks and everything like that, but it's something that I'm really proud of. So check it out. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify. It's called TDN Daily. I host it. I have a lot of the guys on, and you'll have to come on and return the favor.
I love that.
And come on and talk some Bears with me. Whatever the storylines are that day, we tackle the most important storylines for a while. And then I go over some of the quick hits, just so you're up on everything that you need to know that day in the NFL.
I would say you don't need the other guys. Like, get rid of them. We just need you. But it's cool because, like you said, it's kind of like hearing a TED Talk where it's like, yeah, you know what? And it's one of those things that if you're driving across town, like you said, you know, if you're not living in Southern California or wherever, where you have a hour and 30 minute commute where you can devote all this time, like it's a perfect amount of time, and it does get you caught on everything. And I know it's impossible to follow everything. Like it is sure, nearly impossible. So I appreciate it for that sense. And too, when you see the time, you're like, oh yeah, like I can do this. Like I can do 24 minutes. Perfect. Like this is exactly, listen to it before we go to bed or whatever. Short drive, taking the kids, picking the kids up, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I implore everybody to give that a listen, and, you know, like and subscribe it as well. You know, even if I always hate saying this, like even if you're not listening every day, like subscribe to it, like let it drop.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. That's all that we
ask. It does me a huge favor if you do that. So please like and subscribe on Apple and Spotify, please.
So go follow that. Go follow Carmi V on Twitter and Instagram as well. And look out for her reporting from the joint practices of the Miami Dolphins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I will be stealing some of that content for NFL Total Access on Wednesday night. We're going to make that happen. I will name check you on the Total Access. Any other words of wisdom before we get out of here? Because I know you got to get out of here. I know you got to go. It's a big night. You're back in Tampa. You probably had a huge. Oh my gosh. So what else? Give us a parting word. Give us some encouragement. How should we be feeling? Are we freaking out? How are you feeling?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, like these things happen all of the time. This is the National Football League. So it's going to get resolved one way or the other. We're going to move on. This is all going to be in the rearview mirror soon. This is the time to get all these kinks worked out. It's training camp. We haven't even played the first preseason game yet. So I'm not sounding any sort of alarms here. And I think that Bears fans are going to – I think that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have earned some patience. And I keep saying that over and over again. So just let it play out, guys. Let it play out. No, I'm not. I'm going to rein all of Bears Twitter
in. Please do. What Carmen just said goes double for me. That's what I said. Like, everybody just chill out. Let it play out. If we're in week four and Roquan's not back, that's even extreme. Like, it's going to be fine. Like, everybody just chill out and let the business of football take care of itself. But I want to thank everybody who joined us here this evening. Once again, don't be afraid to leave the comment sick right there in the comment section. We would appreciate that. But I appreciate you, Carmen, for joining us. I know you're on the road and traveling, and not always easy to do this from a hotel room, but we appreciate you being here tonight, and we appreciate everybody else. We will see you Thursday for a new edition of the Sick Podcast. Hopefully we'll have some clarity. We'll be looking forward to the first preseason game. So until that time, bear down, and Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.